All right. So some reminders before we start. As always, we ask that you maintain the privileged environment during these workshops. So please do the exercises in a quiet space that's conducive to your practice. Minimize distractions and interruptions by turning off cell phones and letting your loved ones know that you appreciate the time to be present to your practice. All the workshops will be on this conference line, except at 11:45, the workshop will be on Zoom. So to participate in the workshop, currently everyone is muted, so you can unmute yourself by pressing *6. And then if you're not speaking to the facilitator, if you would please press *6 again to re-mute yourself. The workshops will all be recorded and also posted. You'll need a recorder for most of the workshops, so please make sure that you have one with you. All right. So let's begin with a reading from When You're Falling Dive. So I would invite you to close your eyes. There's a story about a spiritual teacher who had a fine collection of prisms that hung across an expanse of windows in his living room. A student cleaning the windows knocked down the whole lot, and they smashed to bits on the floor. The student was terrified and distraught. The teacher came in, saw what had happened, paused for a moment, and then laughed. The student was astonished. "It's all right," the teacher said. "I had those for pleasure, not suffering." So I would invite you now to sit or lie back and make yourself comfortable. Once again, being sure your eyes are closed. And take several nice, long, deep breaths. Feeling the breath fill the body with each inhalation. And feeling the breath leave the body with each exhalation. Just focusing on the breath. Being right here, right now. And as you attend to the breath, allow to arise in conscious, compassionate awareness one of those prisms of enjoyment that have become places of suffering. Could be a job, a relationship, a hobby. Perhaps it's an aspect of practice. Something you love, enjoy, or care about deeply that has been taken over by conditioned mind. Tune into the conversation that you hear about that prism. See if you can just tune into that conversation. What do the voices say that gets you to focus on what's wrong? What should be different? What's not enough? How How are you robbed of recalling the pleasure, delight, contentment, and satisfaction that this prism is for you? And when you get a sense of that, if you would please open your eyes and make a few notes. Maybe take another minute or so to finish up the notes. All right, wrapping that up, finishing the last sentence here on. So conditioned mind uses the content of life to create suffering. And we forget to enjoy our life and to celebrate the miracle of being alive. This human life includes both pleasure and pain. What is painful in our lives is also used by conditioning to create suffering, and we can practice embracing what is painful in compassion. The key is presence, and recording and listening is a way of assisting ourselves to remember that life is about living. And so now we get to reclaim our joy. And so we're going to invite you to make a recording that allows you to reconnect to the love, the joy, the delight, the pleasure you experience when you are with the object, the person, or activity that arose as your prism. So you'll have 10 minutes to do this assignment, so I'll read it once again. So you're going to make a recording that allows you to reconnect to the love, the joy, the delight, the pleasure you experience when you are with the object, person, or activity that arose as your prism. And you'll have 10 minutes to do this assignment, so you can either stay on the line or you can dial back in. It is 11 minutes past the hour, so we will, about to be 12 minutes, so we will be back at 22 minutes past the hour. Any questions before we go off to do the assignment? Again, pressing star 6 to unmute if you need to. All right, we'll see you at 22 minutes past the hour. So a reminder for folks who may have stayed on the line too, if you have your line unmuted, to press star 6 and make sure you're muted. So we're hearing someone who may not be, may have unmuted and needs to remute themselves by pressing star 6.
So basically, there's one big group.
It's not working.
It's a reminder to stay muted if you're not speaking yet. So just star 6 to stay muted. All right, welcome back. Just a quick note that if you are on your computer listening in, it may be that the mute function across the board that we use doesn't work. So if you would just be mindful if you're on a computer that you do whatever you need to do to mute yourself on your side, that would be great. So before I open it up in just a minute, I would offer to Sherry to see if there's anything you were seeing at this time and wanted to add. All right. So we will open it up by folks who want to participate. You just, right now you're muted, and you can press star 6 to unmute yourself and just simply say your name so that I know that you're in the queue. We'd like to start us off. Stephanie.
Jeff.
Hi. I am so happy to be here.
This Excellent. Is Carol. Me too. Great. Okay, good.
So what I noticed about this was I've done this many times in the past, you know, the process of journaling and seeing what we see. And so often in the past, I would get re-identified with the stuff, with ego. And then I would go into self-hate. And that would just suck me down, and it can suck me down for a long time. And what was so exciting about this was I saw the what. It's my big thing is clutter, and clutter from not finishing and not following through. So that's the content.
That's the thing.
And what was so great, yes, what was so great is I'm not taking it personally. I'm seeing it as ego. I'm not going down the rabbit hole of self-hate. Thank you, Sherry. And it just makes me happy to see it. And then I did the recording, which was almost like exactly 5 minutes, perfect amount of time. And it was such a sigh of relief to do the recording and then to listen to it.
Wow. So many elements of practice in there, right? And one of the things, as I was listening to you, Stephanie, I would project that, all of that clutter and all of that, as we're looking at in the exercise, that I'll bet you it comes from, in the beginning, your prism of enjoyment. There's something you enjoy. There's something you love about this. And it gets built up. And the way that it gets taken over is it becomes clutter. And then it becomes something that means something about you. And it becomes this festival of self-hate. But that it sounds like what you really saw in the exercise was, oh, that's not me. I don't have to take that personally. I don't have to go down that rabbit hole. And really realizing that that is the gift of practice that we receive is the realization that I don't have to do that and get it to really receive instead of being pulled down into that late suffering.
Yes, I can see, right, there's a fork in the road, and I get to make a choice. And it's like, oh, that clutter is because of ego, you know, taking over other things, of becoming unconscious. Okay. But it's not me. It's not personal. And I'm free because I can see the process.
That's right. I'm free because I can see the process. Yep. Well stated. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Cher. Thanks for the day, too.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think I heard Jeff next.
Yes, thanks, Jen. The content that came up for me was sex. And and looking at that, I was looking at what I saw. I loved how it was framed. I can't remember what the exact thing, but basically reconnecting with the kind of original love, joy, and delight, and so on. And I, what I saw is that there is this, there's been so much conditioning around sex for so long, and it's been a mixture of judgment, fear, shame, wanting, desire, or pushing away, or all that other stuff. And I see how that has kind of all of that, whatever side of a duality or whatever it is that's been going on around it all of that has taken away what could be, even though I'm not sexually active and haven't been for a long time, the simple pleasure that either in being sexually active or not, having some desire arise. If without all that other stuff, there's the simple experience, and I was just amazed at how that, kind of again as it was framed, how that got taken away, by all the other, and how it can be possible to return to that, I think because of the, that particular content, there's been a lot of believing that it means something, but really, what if it doesn't mean anything? What if none of all of that means anything? None of it, Now, none of it means anything about this person. None of it means anything about the future. It doesn't mean anything about anything, the past, the whatever. If it was just one experience, just like every other experience, if it wasn't being either if there wasn't clinging to it or pushing it away or afraid of it or judging it or feeling ashamed about it or any of the rest, what if it's just, okay, there's that experience arises and passes away, and then and another experience arises and passes away, and we can just enjoy whatever.
And what you're illustrating so perfectly as you describe it is how egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate takes a life process and makes it its own, right? So here's this thing in life, right? This experience in life, this human experience, and makes it about me. And now I'm in control of whether it's good, whether it's bad, how I experience it, what's okay, what's not okay. I mean, all those things that you listed. That's such a perfect illustration of how it takes something that isn't at all about me. It's something that we experience in life and turns it into a suffering process. And then that realization that I project you and Stephanie was pointing at it also is, what if it didn't mean anything? What if it wasn't about me? What if it's simply a life experience? And in that, really, we are freed up to enjoy. So, Jeff, let me just check. Is that noise on your line, do you think?
No.
Okay. So if folks would press *6 if you're not speaking, and again, if you're on a computer, if you would find a way to mute yourself, that would be lovely. Thank you. Yeah, so we're hearing some background noise. I'm guessing it might be from someone who's on a computer, so to just see if you can find a way to mute yourself. Thank you. So at any rate, Jeff, just that place of taking that step back, that movement to return the enjoyment to life. In a sense, that is the gift. We're returning the enjoyment to its original place, if you will.
Yeah. I love that. I love the idea that it's not about me. That seems like a great place to focus the attention. And I'm returning this to life. I'm returning this to life. Thank you.
You know, I remember it reminds me of a recent radio show where Ashwini said something beautiful along the lines of the practice of returning everything to life that is acceptable to life. And, of course, that's everything, right? Because we know everything. That's one of the gifts of this practice is everything is acceptable to life. And the way we know that is it's here. It exists. It is. And so to just let ourselves, you know, free ourselves to just experience it without all that, you know, the imagery leading us to that conversation that gets laid over all of it. And that's sort of the particular, I think, unique gift of this practice is allowing us to tune into that's the only source of the suffering is that conversation. Because without it, it all just is what it is.
It's so amazing. Yeah. Great. Yeah. Thank you, Jen.
Thanks, Jeff. Carol.
Hi. I am so appreciating this opportunity to talk about that thing that gives me so much joy. the content is, it's contact improv dance. And I love it. And I'm always telling people how much I love it, how much joy it brings me. And yet I'm not going to taking advantage of the opportunities to dance. And it's because just of what you've been speaking about this morning is, you know, ego's voice is getting in the way. And I'm just looking, you know, like I want to take a class and I want it all to be structured and because then I can do the right thing and we'll all be safe and no one can fault me for doing the wrong thing, you know. So I'm just so happy. It's like I'm doubly happy and because not only do I love this thing so much, but it's just bringing every opportunity right to me, you know, to transcend all these things and not believe. all these things that ego is saying, and is a really, really, really safe container, you know, with like two rules. That's all it is. And it's all free form. So it just, it brings me this great opportunity to trust myself and to trust these other people.
Mm-hmm.
And ego saying, no, but that's what it is. And that's why I love it, you know.
That's right. And that's why ego's squawking so loudly.
Very loudly, because it's like the greatest and newest joy that goes right to my heart, you know, and right into
that's
my
right.
physical being. So it's
And we cannot have that. That is not okay. Right?
Right.
We've got those experiences where we bypass conditioned mind. And, you know, people often talk about that with things like dancing or poetry
mm-hmm.
or singing or
mm-hmm.
movement or, you know, often those things that engage us on that sort of kinesthetic level, that physiological level where
mm-hmm.
we're bypassing the conversation. And as we were just looking at with Jeff, the conversation is the only source of the suffering. It's the only way that conditioning can take what we love and to create suffering from it. So to have something that so clearly plugs you directly into that joy, that
mm-hmm.
that miracle of being alive that we were pointing out at the beginning of the workshop, is very, very dangerous. And so it's got to come at it with everything it's got. And I think one of the points you're making, which is so important for all of us, is that that is also part of the gift. Because
mm-hmm.
Because what we can
yeah.
do is we can learn to use that, you know, that squawking of ego, that conversation that comes up, that resistance in all of its forms as a cue to, oh, I must be really close to that portal of being directly in the experience of the miracle of being alive. So
mm-hmm.
let me, you know, that's the place Sherry talks about. Let me do the opposite. Whatever it's saying I can't do, whatever it's saying I shouldn't do, whatever it's saying there, that's the thing I'm going to do, because that's the thing that, A, is very likely going to put me in direct experience of what you're talking about, that joy, that delight. And also, it's going to assist me to practice breaking those chains, to not believing that resistance.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's why I'm so happy for it all.
I'm
happy that I get to look at all this stuff and see how bogus it is, you know, and practice trust, you know, just, it's wonderful.
Yeah, and thank you for that last piece, Carol, because that really is the freedom piece. Because, you know, there's a way in which it's easy to love those experiences of the dance that you're talking about or the, you know, singing or, but if they're conditional and we don't even realize it, then we're not free. So if it feels like, gosh, I just love it when I feel so open when I'm dancing, but it so seldom happens and, you know, and then it ends up feeling like just kind of hit or miss. Either maybe it happens or maybe it doesn't, and I'm hoping it will, and then I hate the times when it doesn't. But when we come from the attitude of mind that you're pointing at, where I love all of it, including the experience to see, the opportunity to see the resistance that comes up, then I realize that, gosh, I really am free, because there's nothing, there's no part of it that I don't love. There's no part of it that isn't for me. It's all for me.
Mm-hmm.
That's a real place of freedom. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Great.
Thank you,
Carol.
This is Karen.
Susan. We'll take Karen and then see where we get.
Hi, Jen.
Hey.
This is really fun. I went to like four different places. You know, like things kept popping in. I saw the same process in all of the kind of the four content areas, and one of them was about a loss of a relationship, actually a loss of a person, and it was so much fun to get to make the recording to connect with the joy and the love and all the things that I just so treasure about that person.
Uh-huh.
And that took me to a place of just kind of like having the content be life. if that makes any sense.
I don't know if it makes sense, but it sure put a big smile on my face, Karen, when you said that.
Yeah.
So
it was like
life, it was sort of like life was the content. And then, and I think about what we say every day, you know, on, is, you know, I'm happy to be here. And I just, and right now, there's such awareness of sort of the gift of being able to be here in this moment and how much we never really know. And especially as I'm getting older and I'm, there's been a lot of loss in my life lately. And and it's just like there's this, just the appreciation of actually being here and knowing that it's temporary and all that. But so it took me to places like that. And the antidote, you know, I don't know why, or the solution or the mm-hmm. resolution of gratitude, to actually just sit here in gratitude that I am here, you know, that in this life, that I had this with this person, that I still have the love that was always there, you know. Mm-hmm. And then I did it, I went to so mm-hmm. many places, and it was like mm-hmm. always this gratitude for what's been given, and that it's really none of it's mine, you know. It's here in this moment, and I happen to be in relationship with it, but none of it's mine, you know. Yeah. And it's just to be grateful for what's been given right now.
Yes, gosh, that's just such a beautiful image, Karen. That ultimately that is the prism, that is the gift that we each have to enjoy is the life itself. And that image that we often hear in various traditions, that it's on loan. And I think that helps us so much with what other folks have been pointing at, that it's not mine. When it becomes mine, that is the place of suffering, isn't it? That's the place of clinging. And so when something like we have a very big experience like you're pointing at, we lose a loved one, that's how that becomes framed as wrong. But that was mine. That shouldn't have been taken from me. But when we have that beautiful awareness that I feel like you're pointing us towards, which is that it isn't mine, it's a gift, and it's on loan, and the practice is that actually enjoy it, and the how of that is to be here in gratitude with all of it.
It really seems so. And just you know, on a kind of a content level with that, as I've lost this loved one, I'm clearing out decades, almost close to half a century of things. And wow. The process has been, it's all, I'm taking it, I'm looking at each thing, saying thank you, and it's all going out to the road where, you know, there are signs up, you know, and it's all free to like what I've been given here. Now it needs a new home. And it's just been, it's been such a fun, joyful process. And I'm not out there. I don't know, you know, unless somebody has a question or something, I'm kind of like, usually don't see who or what goes, or it's just, and it's been such a fun process and such a fun way of just sort of like putting, you know, it's that, it really puts me in that place that it was never mine anyway. It was never, it was just, you know, and now it goes out to bless somebody else.
And that beautiful image that it's all life. So we're just in the process of giving life back to life. And can that be what we do on a moment-by-moment basis? Painful and difficult, can that be life's gift that we offer back to life?
Yeah.
That we put on the sidewalk.
So much, it is truly a fun way. It's just so much fun. You know, so anyway, thank you.
Thank you, Karen.
I love that Zen story.
Okay. Gosho. Yeah, me too. Gosho. And we need to transition now to our next workshop. Before I do that, I just wanted to see if, Sherry, you had anything you wanted to add in before we end. All right. So we leave you with this
Jen?
Thought. Yes, Sherry.
Sorry. The phone was muted across the room.
Double muted.
No, nothing to add except thank you. That was lovely. Thank you so much. Mm. Thank you to everybody.
Yeah. Oh, and I, yeah, thank you.
Eager for the next one.
Yeah, exactly. We have so much to,
I know.
To experience.
I know.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you, Sherry.
Thank you.
And we'll leave you with this. Whether it is pleasure or pain, Dolgen offers an attitude of mind to take with us on our spiritual journey as we encounter what we need to transcend. He offers, handle even a single leaf of a green in such a way that it manifests the body of the Buddha. This, in turn, allows the Buddha to manifest through the leaf. Handle even a single leaf of a green in such a way that it manifests the body of the Buddha. This in turn allows the Buddha to manifest through the leaf. And so with that, we shall pass the baton to our next facilitator and we'll end this current recording. Thank you, everyone, in Gassho.